I was sitting at home this afternoon and sitting in front of my computer when all of a sudden I got a message that I had just received an email. Don't receive too many emails on Sunday, so I decided I was going to check it out. It had to be something important. And lo and behold, when I looked at the email, it said that the sender was God. So I thought, well, this should be really important. And I opened the thing up, and sure enough, it was God. He was sending me an email, and he was saying, Reiner, I know you're going to be preaching tonight, and here's what I want you to tell your congregation. And I thought, well, this is really important. I better get it right. Rather than just jotting the thing down, I'll print it out. Well, my printer failed. Couldn't print the thing out. So I jotted the thing down, what the email said, so I could share it with you tonight. Unfortunately, my handwriting's not that good. And since it came late in the afternoon, I didn't have a whole lot of time. I kind of wrote it quickly, and I'm struggling to read my handwriting. I could read the eye chart, but I can't read my own handwriting here. But it said, tell, and I'm not sure whether it was him or them, that I have great things in store for them or him, one or the other, to accomplish. They are going to reach, and I'm not sure if it was everyone or just one, which will cause a revival worldwide. Now, you know I didn't get an email from God. It was a text message on my phone. But just suppose that God used the vehicle of emails or text messages, and He was sending them out, and you got one like that. It was addressed to you to give to a congregation, or it was addressed to you personally. And that's why I said I wasn't sure whether it was them or him, one or the other. And the message was that you personally were going to reach everyone in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think you could do it? Well, that's intimidating, isn't it? So let's make it reasonable. We'll take the him and make it them. Let's make it a congregation. Do you think the Salina Bible Church could reach everyone in the world? That's even a little hard to comprehend, isn't it? Well, let's change the scenario around. Let's make it, you are going to reach one person in the world. Well, that's doable, isn't it? And it's a whole lot more doable if we as a congregation are going to reach one person. Or is it? In and of ourselves, we can do nothing. But in Christ, I can do all things. The most difficult, one person reaching the whole world, is doable if it's the will of God. The easiest, a whole congregation reaching one person, is impossible without God. Point is this. Whatever the will of God calls you to do, God enables you to do it. And apart from Him, you can do nothing. So, what has God enabled us to do? I want to address that subject from the first 9 verses, 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Remember last week when I told you a little background of the Corinthian church? Corinth was a church that was geographically centrally located. It was in a prime place to reach the entire world. It was the crossroads from Rome on down to Jerusalem, from up in the Asia Minor down into Africa. You practically went through Rome no matter where you were going, or went through Corinth wherever you were going. Great place to reach the whole world. But in order to reach the whole world, you reach them one by one, don't you? Well, what could the Corinthians do? Now remember, I said this was a church that was a carnal church. Yet what could even a carnal church do by the grace of God? Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. A basic introduction to his letter. He identifies himself as Paul, the writer of this, along with Sosthenes. He's writing to the church and the traditional greeting of grace to you and peace from God. That's normal. Take a look at a couple of the things that are here. First of all, Paul is a called apostle. Notice in your Bibles that the words to be are in italics. They're not there. The original language, the original writing, has the word order this way: Paul, a called apostle. Paul was called of God in his ministry to be an apostle. God calls each and every one of us to a particular ministry. And it's through his will. He doesn't call everyone to be an apostle. In fact, I believe the gift of apostleship is long past. But nonetheless, it was extant in that day and age, and that was the will of God for him. God has a will for you, and you are called to accomplish that will. And sometimes that will takes us out on our own. Sometimes we get to minister in a congregational setting. Sometimes we get to minister with one or two others. And here's Sosthenes, was called alongside of Paul to minister to them. He's writing to the church at Corinth. But notice the qualifications of the characteristics of that church. It, first of all, is the church of God. We have a habit of saying, well, why don't you come to my church? It's not my church. It's not your church. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. It belongs to him. He paid for it, not us. Well, unfortunately, there are places where certain people have paid for the churches. And consequently, not much for the Lord's going on there. Well, he's writing unto the church that belongs to God. Let me ask you a question. The things that you own, do you take care of them? Yes. Of course you do. You know why? You bought them. And you paid good money for them. How much more will God take care of his church that belongs to him that was bought? The blood of his son. He's writing unto the church of God, which is centrally located at Corinth. And then he says, to them that are sanctified, set apart in Christ, called saints. Not called to be saints. As Paul was called an apostle, these are called saints. The word saints literally means holy one. They were called to be holy ones. They were holy ones. And what he's saying here is, act like it. God has sanctified. He's put you apart. He's created you as something special in Christ Jesus. Now live like it. But not only is he writing to the church in Corinth, notice the last part in verse 2. The grammar changes from a singular to a plural. To all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ. What he's writing here in 1 Corinthians specifically applies to the church at Corinth, but generally, or if you want to put it in a broad sense, it applies to every person who names the name of Jesus Christ, not just the Corinthians. Beginning at verse 4, he begins to tell the Corinthians what God has done for them in the past. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which your Bible might say is given to you. Actually, it's a past tense verb in the original. Better translated, was given you in Jesus Christ. Paul is thanking God for the grace that was given to them. He's wishing them grace in verse 3, but in verse 4, he's thanking them for the grace that they have already received. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace brings salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Paul is thanking them for the grace that saved them. Paul is thanking them, thanking God for the grace that sanctified them. They didn't sanctify themselves. God sanctified them. And why does he do it? He does it out of his grace. God preserved them. I gave thanks tonight, 4 years ago, I could have been out of here. The grace of God has been great in my life in the last 4 years. I've been able to give glory to God for all that He's done. Sad thing is, I've been trying to buy some life insurance. I can't get life insurance anymore because of the heart attack. And I said to the insurance agent the other day, I said, "The sad thing is, I am probably healthier today than before I had the heart attack. And I had life insurance in force then, but I can't get it now." Well, actually, I can get it. If I'm a millionaire, right. It would be far cheaper for me to just pass on. But that's another story. Paul is thanking them. Do you know God has graced you? If you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He has poured abundant grace in your life. Unmerited favor. Well, the next thing here, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you either by or in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, that in everything you, and here again it's a past tense verb, were enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Well, does that mean everyone here knows everything? Of course not. I'm the only one who knows everything. Maybe not. Maybe not. Do we have at our disposal all knowledge? It's right here. And the Word of God has enriched us. I have been in the pastoral ministry now for nearly 29 years. I don't know how many counseling sessions I've had over the course of my pastoral ministry, but there's been oodles of them. Oftentimes, I'll know what a person is coming for, and I can kind of prepare myself. And other times, people come in, I don't have the slightest idea why they're coming to see me. They just call me up and say, "I need counseling, can you talk with me?" And I come in cold. Do you know there's never been one counseling situation where God hasn't brought to my mind His Word that was an answer to the problem the person was facing? Not one. The Word of God enriches us. Oh, by the way, that's something that God enriched us with. You say, "Well, I studied." Well, if you didn't have the Word that God gave, you'd have nothing to study. God gave you that. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. In verse 6, God confirmed their witness. Now, in the early church, God confirmed the witness of the apostles through the ability to do miraculous things. I believe that has passed. But nonetheless, God is still confirming our witness. He's showing the world there's something different about Christians. There's something about the Word of God. Oh, by the way, Word of God always, always works, doesn't it? I sometimes marvel. Weathermen. There's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow. Which means there's a 50% chance that it won't rain. And they get paid to say that. They get paid handsomely for something they have no idea of its certainty. And yet the Word of God is always certain. He conformed, or confirmed. The word confirmed has the idea to establish or to make certain. He confirmed their testimony. Not only that, verse 7, he moves from the past to the present. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God moved in the past. He gave grace that saved. Grace has sustained them and sanctified them. He enriched them. He confirmed their testimony. And now their present condition was that they come behind. The word means to have a lack of something, falling short of somebody else. Consequently, well, they're ahead of me in this. You come behind in no gift whatsoever. The word gift is a form of the word grace. Literally, it is a grace gift. I have graced you so much, there's nobody else who I've graced just as, and you still have that right now. But do you realize God's grace never wears out? Never expires? Doesn't have an expiration date on it? I've been teasing Roy on Sunday mornings because my new members class has the privilege of meeting downstairs right near the coffee pot. Isn't that wonderful? Yep. You're not going to like what I have to say next. Well, maybe you won't care. I think you might not mind. I go down Sunday mornings. I turn the coffee pot on. I make a pot of coffee. I put the cups out. I put the sugar out. I put the creamer out. And whoever wants a cup of coffee, they can sit through my Sunday school class and sip on that thing and pretend that they're paying attention to me while they're drinking their coffee to stay awake. But I looked this morning at the expiration date on the half and half. It was dated February. Now, I want you to know I have a heart for my class. So the first thing I did is I took the cap off and didn't smell too bad. So I put the thing out. I did notice, though, that when I put the little bit of cream that I take in my coffee, there was a little something floating around on the cup. I don't think we're going to have that half and half next week. I might get a new cart. Yeah. It expired. God's word, God's grace, never expires, never turns sour. God not only works in the past, He's not only working in the present, but He's going to work in the future too. Look at verse 8. Who shall, future tense, also confirm you unto the end, that you may be, and notice there, again, it's in italics. It's not found in the original. God is going to confirm you unto the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is working in your life and will continue to work in your life to make you like His own dear Son. And we don't know what it will be like when He appears, but we do know that when He comes, we shall be like Him. And Philippians tells us that He who has begun a good work in you shall do it just as long as you're a good person. No? I got that wrong again? Unto the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't stop working. He worked in the past. He's working in the present. He will work all the way up until Jesus Christ comes, enabling people to accomplish, well, let's go back to the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, Sosthenes with him by the will of God, you here by the will of God. Same God who does all these things. Well, how can we be certain? Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you... Oh, that's pertaining to the Corinthians. Oh, wait a minute. That's why I made a point in verse 2, unto everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. God is faithful to all of us. Well, I'm not very faithful. Doesn't say whether you're faithful or not. God is always faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every one of us has a particular part in the will of God. God calls us in various ways to do various things for Him, all for His glory. But regardless of what our particular calling may be, He enables us to do it. And it doesn't matter whether you're to reach one person or the entire world, God enables you to accomplish His will. But without it, nothing. Thank God for His matchless grace. Let's pray. Father, when we begin to question, oh, what can I do? Remind us that we can do nothing apart from You, but that in Christ we can do all things. For whatever the will of God calls us to do, the grace of God enables us to do. And may we then be found just as faithful as You are to us. To that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.